the things that I don't like about Southern Illinois is one day it's spring and then it's summer. And so today is summer, isn't it? I'm human. We're thankful. We're thankful to be in the house of the Lord. We're thankful for the change of seasons. We're thankful for the rain. And Lord, we just bless you and we honor you on this stormy Sunday morning. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name where the storms are going through right now, just protection over over people, over homes. And Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for the psalm that says the God of glory thunders. And Lord, we thank you that you're the creator God. We thank you that you water the earth. And Lord, we just bless you and we honor you and we welcome you here, Spirit of God. We ask you to come. We ask you, Lord, to breathe on your word as it's read, as it's sung, as it's declared. Holy Spirit, come in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts to worship with the prelude. rage we can't endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. Lord, we thank you that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that you are Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the river of God that gives us joy, that gives us comfort. We thank you that you sit in heaven and you laugh because you know what is to come. That you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end and the first and the last. Lord, we bring before you, was reading the news this morning about the shooting in Dallas. And Lord, just the chaos in our country, the unrest and the anger, the hostility. And Lord, we just ask for your mercy. We ask for comfort for those who mourn. We ask, Lord, just mercy on our land in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the promise in your word that where a great sin abounds, much greater grace abounds. Lord, we pray for those among us this morning that need healing. Bob Stein, Lord, we pray healing for his COPD, healing for those lungs. We say, lungs, breathe, be whole in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for our missionaries. We thank you for Bevenstein and good night, help me, Kosovo. Jonathan Walden, Lord, I know that they're going back to Kosovo this week, I think. And Lord, we pray blessings on Jonathan and his family. We pray blessings on Bevan and his family. God, we ask for mercy, the situation with Russia and Ukraine. God, we just lift all of it to you. And we thank you, Jesus, that you're good, that your love endures forever, that your name is faithful and true, that you are Emmanuel, that you are with us, that your eye is on the righteous, that your ears are attentive to our cry. All of our prayer concerns, all of our needs, Lord, we just take a moment, we name them quietly, we lift them up before you. We thank you for Richard, we thank you for the honor flight that's going on Tuesday, Lord, we thank you. We bless him and all those who are going, Pam's brother. God, we just bless those and others from Des Moines that are going. We bless them. We pray protection. You'd hem them in behind and before. And Lord, you just bless them. We honor them. And we thank you for their service. And Lord, we just lift them before you. Bless them, Jesus. We love you. We thank you that you see us. Lord, we thank you that you're alive. That because you live, Lord, we can face tomorrow. You're good, Lord. You are so good, and you are so faithful. Lord, I thank you for a good fellowship time last Sunday. Thank you for the potluck, all those who helped. And Lord, we just thank you. might be sitting there thinking, yeah, right. You don't know about my life right now. Uh-huh. Or you might be thinking, yeah, it's a pretty good promise. I need to claim that. And all of us have been in a place in our life where we might be angry at the Lord. We have a lot of angst. There's a lot going on. And we're like, and we might be crying out in our heart, Lord, where are you? Hey, do you see me over here? There's a lot going on. My life is a mess. Hey, God, wake up. Where are you? Wake up. Well, there's a word for you this morning in that, and there's a word for all of us, but there are people in the scriptures, Jesus encountered people that I think had felt like God had abandoned them, that God was asleep on them. And when I saw the worship service that Luann put out last week, I laughed because she used two of the songs that I wanted to use today. And I love it. It's a little bit frustrating, but I love it more. I love it. I love it because it means God's talking. He's talking. And I'm so thankful that Rich played that song. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our grief and sin to bear. All because, and so I just love that song. What a friend we have in Jesus. But again, we might be thinking, no, my life's a mess. My life is, things are out of control. I feel like he's abandoned me. I feel like he's asleep. Well, what's the word for us this morning? He's got a word. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you're faithful. Thank you, Jesus, that you are with us. I thank you, Lord, that we're going to look at three, maybe four stories in the Gospels where you came to people that I think had felt like you'd fallen asleep. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for any here today that have angst, that have anger, that are frustrated because they feel like you've fallen asleep. Holy Spirit, speak to them. I pray comfort. I pray encouragement. Holy Spirit, get them. Anoint me, God. Anoint me to preach. Anoint me, God. Give me the words to say, to fearlessly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, amen. The first story I want us to look at of somebody that I think had felt like the Lord had fallen asleep on them, it's found in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, I'm just going to go through this story quickly. But this woman, Jesus, it says, John chapter 4, that he had to go through Samaria. And in Jesus' travels, he did not have to go. With the writer, John is telling us that was a divine appointment. He had to go through Samaria, not because it was the quickest way to get to where he was going, but because he had an encounter. And there is a woman there at the well, and she is there at noon. And if you've ever been to the ancient Near East, or you've been to Arizona, you've been in a desert climate, do you go outside at noon? No, because it is hot, and it will burn your head, it will make you hydrated. They tend to, they work in the morning and they work in the evening, but during the heat of the day, you do not do manual labor. And to carry water is a job. And this woman is there at noon. And Jesus encounters this woman and he begins a dialogue with this woman. Verse 7 of John chapter 4. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would give you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will well up in him, a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to especially bad because she couldn't go into the temple. She had menstrual bleeding. That made her unclean. She'd been unclean for years. She had spent everything she had, her whole livelihood, on doctors, and nothing could help her. Do you think that she felt like God was asleep on her? I think so. Any of you have had chronic conditions that just don't go away? And you pray and you pray and you pray and nothing helps. And you're just like, God, do you see me? God, this is bad. God, why aren't you answering me? And this woman was desperate. She was desperate. She was ashamed. She'd heard about Jesus. And Jesus comes. She doesn't want to make a public spectacle. She wants to hide, which is what a lot of us do. We've got needs. We've got things that we desperately need God for. not trouble the teacher anymore. But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, "Do not fear, only believe, and she will be well." And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him, except Peter, John, and James, and the father and mother of the child. And all were weeping and mourning for her, but he said, "Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. Sometimes we feel like God is asleep, and we feel like we know more than Jesus does. We frame a situation, we frame it, "Well, this is always going to be this way. This is never going to change. This person is always going to be like this." And we frame a situation. And this story is so profound to me because it says Jesus tells him it's going to be okay. They have a promise from Jesus that it's going to be okay. That's the promise. But they laugh at him knowing that she was dead. You all, we need to be really careful when we judge people, when we judge a situation. We have to take the word of God and what his Holy Spirit says above what we see with our eyes. Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, the evidence of what we do not see. They laughed at Jesus because they knew that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he said, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. And he directed that something should be given her to eat. And her parents were amazed, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Sometimes it feels like Jesus is asleep. Sometimes it feels like God is not going to answer our prayers, and we feel alone, we feel afraid, we feel abandoned. The woman at the well for years had been going to that well alone because she was so ashamed. The woman with the issue of blood had tried and tried and tried and tried everything, but nothing could help her. Jairus, his only daughter, was dying. Jesus got waylaid and she died. And Jesus didn't want them to believe in just what they saw with their eyes. Lazarus, final story, John chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany. So the sisters sent to him saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." If I was with Jesus and I heard him say that, I'm going to make some assumptions. I'm going to assume, "Oh, this sickness doesn't lead to death. It's going to lead to the glory of God. Hey, we're going to go there and Lazarus is going to be healed and everything's going to be great. That's what's going to happen." But is that what happens? No. Jesus waits. He doesn't go right away. He waits two or three more days? Stay 2 days longer in the place where he was. 2 days. And when he gets there, Lazarus is not only dead, but he's been dead for a couple days. Both Mary and Martha, when they see Jesus, say, "Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Do you think they felt abandoned? Do you think they felt forsaken? Do you think they felt like Jesus had fallen asleep on them? I do. And yet Jesus had a bigger purpose. We have to be really careful to make assumptions about unanswered prayers, about situations that are wrong. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. But he didn't go in there whooping and hollering and, "Hey, it's going to be okay." No, he wept with them. He wept with them. And if you feel like God has abandoned you, and you feel angry, and you feel like God has fallen asleep, you about just allowing the Lord to love us and allowing Him just to come in and just love us. And that's what we need. Behold, He that keeps you does not slumber, nor does He sleep. Psalm 121 is a traveling psalm. It's a psalm that they would have sung as they were going up to worship in Jerusalem. And six times in those eight little verses, there's a little Hebrew word called shamar. Just think about that. Six times in eight verses. That's a lot. And it's a little Hebrew word that means to keep, to guard, to protect. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you, He who guards you, He who protects you, will not slumber. Hey, He who keeps, guards, protects, Israel protects you, will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you.